Maulana, once again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We wholeheartedly welcome you and appreciate your time in Burma, Maulana.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana Muhammad, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners. Once again, it's an honor and a pleasure to connect in the sacred, blessed, and momentous month of Ramadan around the topic of understanding or trying to understand the Quran.
Master, jazakumullah. Yes, all of us looking forward to, inshallah, listening to you for the next hour. Talking about the pledge line, Maulana Suleiman Mullah's wallet looks quite full, and we're going to ask Maulana to contribute the first few grains tonight, inshallah. Maulana, jazakallah, and over to you.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So alhamdulillah, yesterday we were discussing the aspect pertaining to the fasting in the month of Ramadan, and those were the verses that were highlighted and the concession that Allah has provided for us, that if a person is on journey or he's sick, then he could fa'iddatum min ayyamin ukhar, he or she could then postpone those fasts to a later time. Of course, if there is a chronic condition where there's no hope of recovery, then the fidya will be discharged. And then Allah reminds us, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ, that Allah intends ease and good for us. وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ, and Allah does not intend difficulty for us. وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And briefly, we explored the linguistic difference between ikmal and itmam. Furthermore, in the very same page in Surah Baqarah, probably many of the listeners don't know, in the initial stages of Islam, when a person came home and after sunset, when he or she fell off to sleep, then the next day's fast commenced by the sleep itself. So once you fell off to sleep, that was it. If you were awake, then you could still eat, you could drink, of course, prior to dawn. But as soon as you fell off to sleep, that signaled the commencement of the new fast. So there were few Sahaba who had returned after they were tired, they were exhausted, they fell off to sleep. And after awakening during the portion of the night, they had the need and the desire to share the bed with their spouse. And they did so by their human need, by their the need for sharing the bed with their partner and their spouse. And after having the conjugal and the matrimonial relationship, they obviously felt guilty, knowing very well that once the eyes had shut down, it was not permissible for them because the next day's fast had commenced. So this is also for us to understand that the ease that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us. In the morning they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amongst them was Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu and other sahaba, and they apologized to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that last night this is what had occurred. My eyes opened up and I had the need of meeting with my partner and sharing the bed with my spouse, and then I indulged in conjugal and matrimonial relationship, and it was then echoed by few other sahaba as well. And there are multiple incidents of this nature where the sahaba would come. So this is our belief and our aqeedah that the anbiya alayhim as-salam are ma'soom. That is, they do not sin. The angels do not have the ability to sin. The sahaba are humans, they are mortals, they can sin, and occasionally they did sin, but categorically, unequivocally, explicitly, repeatedly in the Quran, Allah has declared the forgiveness of them all. In multiple verses, وَكُلَّنَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى, and Allah has decreed paradise and goodness for all of them. وَلَقَدْ عَفَى عَنْكُمْ, and surely Allah has pardoned you all. So Allah then revealed the verse, أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ أَرَّفَثُ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ, that Allah has made it permissible for you during the nights of Ramadan, during the nights of fasting, that you could have relationship with your spouses. And then Allah makes mention, يَهُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنْ. Amongst the many descriptions that the Quran has given us with regards to marriage, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, the very famous verse in the 21st juz in Surah Ar-Rum, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, amongst the signs of Allah, أَدَّلَّ عَلَىٰ قُدْرَتِهِ, which reflect the might, the grandeur and the power of Allah, and خَلَقَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, that Allah has created for you from amongst yourself spouses, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you derive peace, sukoon, comfort. Then Allah says, جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّن بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنًا. He has created for you dwellings and homes that you derive peace out of it. Then Allah says, جَعَلَ اللَّيْلِ. He has made the night لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ. So if you look at the different verses of the Quran, the night is designed to give us sukoon. Then our spouses are there to give us sukoon. And then our homes and our dwellings are there to give us sukoon. And really speaking, if my home doesn't give me a sense of comfort, my spouse doesn't give me a sense of comfort, the night doesn't give me sleep, then we are losing the very fundamentals of, or the very objectives of that home, the night and the spouse. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then made it permissible, and this is the kindness and the concession that Allah has given us, that during the month of Ramadan, at nights it is permissible for a person to eat and drink, and likewise to indulge in relationship with his spouse. And then Allah says so beautifully, "Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun." What a profound analogy, what a profound expression. And the scholars have highlighted multiple tashbih. So Allah said, your spouse is a garment unto you. Hunna, they, the females, libasul lakum, are a garment unto you. Wa antum, and you, the males, libasul lahun, are a garment unto them. Amongst the many benefits of a garment, A, you cannot do without clothing. In the very same way, you cannot do without your spouse. In one narration, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he is a pauper, even if he is wealthy. Who, O Nabi of Allah? The one who is single. She is a pauper. Who, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, despite being wealthy, she is single. Of course, we sympathize and empathize with those who find themselves in circumstances beyond their situation. They are victim of an abuse, relationship, etc. But by choice, Islam encourages us to advance into the institution of marriage. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu used to say, لَوْ لَمْ يَبْقَ مِنْ أَجْلِي إِلَّا ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ وَلِي طَوْلٌ عَلَى النِّكَاحِ لَتَزَوَّجْتُ كَرَاهِيَةَ أَنْ أَلْقَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَزْبًا. If I only had 3 days left in my life, and I knew in 72 hours I was going to die, and in those 3 days I was single, I would hasten to get married simply because I do not want to meet my Allah unmarried. مَنْ دَعَاكَ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ الزِّوَاجِ دَعَاكَ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Whoever invites you to celibacy, not to get married, is inviting you to something that is not in the teachings of Islam. So Allah says, هُنَّ libas, your spouse is a garment. Amongst the many things, you cannot do without clothes. We have to. That's human nature. We have to cover ourselves. When our parents, Adam and Hawa, Adam and Eve, alayhima min Allahi as-salatu wa taslimat, when they ate from the forbidden tree, then the result of that was that the garments of Jannah were removed. So the Quran says, طَفِقَا يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ. أَخَذَا يَلْزِقَانِ, as Jalalain writes, they immediately started taking the leaves from the trees of Jannah and cladding themselves. So that's the instinct of man. That's the instinct of man, that he needs to be, or she needs to be, covered and concealed. In the very same way, we are in need of our spouses and our partners. And I must say something here. The system of marriage in Islam is that there is a system of interdependence. And today the world is promoting a system of independence. So become independent. You don't need to ask him. She doesn't need to ask you. Of course, we need to ask each other, but the respective partner must not exploit or abuse the need of the other partner. That is also wrong. كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ إِثْمًا أَن يُضَيِّعَ مَن يَقُودُ. The hadith of Abu Dawood, if a man does not take care of the costs and the needs, not the greeds, not the luxuries, the needs of his spouse and children, that's a sin. So by me providing shelter for my spouse and my children, providing food and clothing, providing drinks, this is no favor, this is my duty and this is my responsibility. Likewise, from a spouse to a husband, for her to fulfill his duty, what Allah has ordained and decreed is her right and is her duty towards the partner. So Islam has adopted, or the format of Islam in the system of marriage marriage is a system where each one is dependent on the other. الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم. So Allah says that هن لباس. The other beauty or the other analogy that the scholars have deduced from libas is that clothing, your garment, conceals you. It is satir. It is satir. It covers your body. So a person could probably go for a triple bypass. But if he clads and he attires himself beautifully and he's well covered, you are clueless that, you know what, he had a procedure done, he had a surgery done. Yes, when he unbuttons his upper garment or he removes his upper garment, that's the time you realize that, listen, he had surgery done here. So just as your clothing conceals your body, that is also one of the fundamentals in marriage. As a male, I conceal the faults of my female, of my spouse. As a wife, I conceal the faults of my husband, vice versa. So these are points that we deduce from the expression of the word libas. If only that much we can try and implement, that we start concealing one another, then that also would go a long way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هن لباس لكم وأنتم لباس لهن. علم الله أنكم كنتم تختانون أنفسكم. Allah is aware that you were guilty and you had made khiyanat and you had fallen short in this command, because at that stage, once your eyes closed, it was forbidden. And the next day's fast commenced. So of course, if you had not fallen off to sleep, then till dawn you could have your meal or you could enjoy, you know, your spouse, etc. فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَعَفَى عَنْكُمْ. Allah has forgiven you and Allah has pardoned you. فَالْآنْ now بَاشِرُوهُنَّ. You can have relationship with them. But again, that's the beauty of Islam. That even when you indulge in your need, which is human, intrinsic, inherent, synonymous to our temperament, it shouldn't be driven by exclusive lust and pleasure. وَابْتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Search for the sustenance or search for the offspring that Allah has decreed for you. So a believer is such that if you look, there's a whole chapter there, Babu ما جاء في مزاح رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the humor and the banter in the life of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. So that's the balance in Islam. It's not dry of humor. It's not where it's only rigidity and it's only worship and there's no humor. But then the balance is, it's just not someone who's an entertainer, or it's just not someone who's a comedian, and it's just not a full hour of laughter, and it's just not a full hour of chuckling and giggling. No, even in the banter of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is guidance, there is direction, there is motivation. So even when a believer meets with his spouse or she meets with her spouse and they indulge in the relationship, the Quran says, وَابْتَغُوا search ma that كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, which Allah has decreed for you in the form of children and offspring. وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا, and you are free to eat and drink. حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ, until the white thread becomes apparent to you from the black thread, meaning daybreak before Subh Sadiq sets in, till before dawn, the time of Fajr sets in, it is permissible for you to eat. ثُمَّ أَتِمُّ الصِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ, and then your fast commence right up till the night. And as I indicated, that itmam does not allow for inqita' in it. So there's tasalsul, you fast the entire day. Yes, وَلَا تُبَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ. If you are observing i'tikaf in the masjid, then it would not be permissible for you to have any relationship with your spouse, even at nights while you are observing the i'tikaf. So during the nights of Ramadan, you could have relationship with your spouse, you could share the bed with your partner, but of course when you observe in i'tikaf, then that would not be permissible for you. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. These are the boundaries of Allah, these are the limits of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فرض فرائض فلا تضيعوها وحد حدودا فلا تعتدوها وسكت عن أشياء رحمة لكم من غير نسيان فلا تبحثوا عنها. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that verily Allah has ordained certain things. إن الله تعالى فرض فرائض فلا تضيعوها, so do not neglect it. وحد حدودا, and Allah has demarcated certain boundaries. فلا تعتدوها, do not trespass it. وَسَكَتَ عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ رَحْمَةً لَكُمْ مِنْ غَيْرِ نِسْيَانٍ, and Allah has been silent about certain things out of His sheer mercy and not out of forgetfulness. So don't probe it. Don't probe it. When the verses of Hajj were revealed, a Sahabi came and he said, Ali Amina Hada Ya Rasulallah Amlil Abad. Is Hajj mandatory this year or is it mandatory every year? And the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, just leave me to what I've said. If I say yes, it will become mandatory every year and then you won't have the muscle and the clout to execute it. So Allah has been silent about certain things out of His kindness and His grace and His mercy and not out of forgetfulness. And then Allah speaks about the different questions that the people had asked the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and amongst them was yasalunaka anil ahilla. They ask you regarding the wisdom of the waxing and the waning of the moon. So the scholars make it amazing. So ahilla is the plural of the word hilal. And when they used to see the hilal, they used to say Allahu Akbar. So that is why hilal is known as hilal. Right? Ahalla, ahalla. Sabbaha means subhanallah. Hawqala means la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Etc, etc. So yas'alunak, they ask you, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anil ahilla, regarding the crescent. So the Quran changes the focus. They ask him regarding the waxing and the waning, and Allah is responding in a different way. Allah is not answering that question per se. And from this, the scholars deduce that at times when a disciple asks his mentor a question, it's not always necessary to ask reply precisely, because sometimes the question being asked could be futile, could be irrelevant. And I think this is key for us to focus on. Sometimes we have the privilege of having a prominent scholar and the floor is open to us, you know, and it's a Q&A. We seldom ask things that are connected to our own akhirah, our own dealings, our own social being, our own, you know, social interactions, etc. And we ask things which, like, you know, if I'm on the moon, what direction must I face when performing salah? That's valid, but you're not performing salah on Mother Earth. Right, who performed Adam alayhi salam's nikah? Well, let's stop the zina on the earth and see everybody else is performing nikah. To worry about, you know, who performed the nikah of Adam alayhi salatu was salam. So, is Khidr alive or has he moved on? You know, we go into all these things which are not going to be focused towards us in our grave. And we ignore, is my dealings in order? And one of my scholars had also mentioned something very profound. He said, many times today, we have connections with great scholars and people have some form of spiritual relationship. But unfortunately, we have narrowed that relationship to, like, I'm opening a shop, come make a dua. Somebody is sick, I request duas. We don't use that engagement for spiritual guidance. Right? I have fallen short in my amal or in my awrad or in certain etiquettes, etc. How can I reform and rehabilitate myself? So anyways, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked the question and Allah replies, قُلْ سَيْ أَنْتُ ذَمْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِ. That this is there to calculate time. This is there to calculate time for the people and likewise to calculate the season of Hajj. So Islamically, Allah has attached our laws with the lunar system. So Allah is in charge of the Gregorian calendar and the lunar calendar. That's both systems are in the power of Allah. La shamsu yanbaghi laha an tudrika al-qamar wa al-laylu sabiqu an-nahar wa kullun fi falakin yasbahun. Everyone floating in its orbit for which Allah has created it. There's never any disarray in the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the creator of the sun and the moon. However, Allah has attached the rulings of Islam with the lunar system. So our Ramadan is calculated by the lunar month. The iddat of a woman, that when she is divorced, or when she is mutawaffa anha zawjuha rather, when she is widowed by the demise of her partner, then it is 4 months, 10 days by the calculation of a lunar calendar. And the scholars say the wisdom of this, amongst other wisdoms, is the Gregorian system is fixed. So the Christmas happens on one day throughout the, you know, the it's that day of the year. If it's summer, it's summer in that place. If it's winter, it's winter. There's no changing, there's no evolving. But the wisdom of attaching the commands of Allah through the lunar system is a person never fits into a comfort zone. It's going to be long days, it's going to be short days, it's going to be winter days, it's going to be summer days, it's going to be changing all the time. Hajj will change, Ramadan will change, all these things will change. And that's the system, that is abdiyat, where you surrender and submit to the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in ibadah, that is why ahabbu siyami ilallahi, Sawmu Dawood. The best fast that is loved to Allah is the fast of Dawood, where you observe a fast one day, you eat one day, you fast one day, you observe. So ibadat doesn't become adat. If you fast continuously, then it becomes somewhat easier. But if you fast, you eat, there's a challenge constantly. There's a challenge constantly. And look at the beauty of the Quran, the seven sleepers, right? While we're on the topic, they slept in the cave for 309 years. But when the Quran spoke about the duration that they slept, Allah didn't say 309 years. Allah said وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ ثَلَاثَ مِئَةٍ سِنِينَ وَازْدَادُوا تِسْعَى. وَلَبِثُوا, and they stayed, فِي كَهْفِهِمْ, in their cave, ثَلَاثَ مِئَةٍ سِنِينَ, 300 years, وَازْدَادُوا تِسْعَى, and they added a 9 years. The scholars, and this is mentioned in Ma'arif al-Quran, right? The wisdom why Allah adopted this phrase by saying 300 and they added a 9 to merge between both the calculations. So if you were to go with the Gregorian calendar, then it was 3 centuries. And if you were to go with the lunar calendar, then it was 309 years. Because on every 33 years, by the lunar system, it's 34. So if you are 33 years old by the regular date of birth, by the Gregorian, then you'll be 34 Islamically, and so on and so forth. So on a century will be 3 years. I hope we're on one page, and I hope my listeners are appreciating this as well. That's the beauty of the Quran. So Allah said 300 and they added a 9. And that expression combines the dual calculation. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam to come to Mount Tur and to spend i'tikaf there, the scholars say Allah didn't say 40 days. Allah said 40 nights. وَوَاعَدْنَا مُوسَى ثَلَاثِينَ لَيْلَةً وَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ فَتَمَّ مِيقَاتُ رَبِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً. The Quran focuses on 40. So these are, you know, many expressions there. So anyway, by virtue of the lunar, it's so important that we know this. Unfortunately for many of us, the only month we know is Ramadan. The only month, that's the time you come to know, or probably Dhul Hijjah, because of course people are going on Hajj. Other than that, we are clueless of the year, Islamic year, leave alone the Islamic month. Now there was another practice amongst the Arabs, and again, we use this to understand deen is what Allah has told us and not what we assume. Often we find, and I say this with absolute respect to many of our old folks, they have certain practices and notions and perceptions, and it could be found in others as well, and they hold on to this year, but by and large, many times there isn't an established basis for this year, but it's just been transmitted and passed on, and they're very passionate about this. So the pagan Arab had this practice that once you've donned the ihram and you left home, and if you needed to come back home for some reason or the other, then because you have left in the state of ihram, you don't enter your house from the door. You come from the rear. So, this is strange, this is naive, this is peculiar, that you're coming back to your house, you've donned the ihram, but you formally left on the spiritual journey of Hajj. Now you return home, probably you forgot something or you needed to attend to something. So you don't use the main entrance, you come from the rear, and then you make a hole in the wall, and then you actually get through this year. To say that I'm not yet in the capacity to come officially through the main entrance, because I have not yet completed the ritual of Hajj. Now, these are things that are not founded, these are things that are not established, and sometimes we have these practices amongst our people, where a person probably has the nisab for wealth, I'm using an example, and he or she, the qurbani would be obligatory or sunnah according to the variation of the fuqaha upon that person. Now he or she doesn't discharge the slaughtering of the animal for himself or herself, but chooses to do it on behalf of a deceased. if you have surplus funds, then by all means, take care of your own and do on behalf of a deceased. But you only have the means of one. Now you're offering to do it for a deceased and you're forfeiting your own. I'm just giving one simple example. So Allah says, وَلَيْسَ الْبِرُّ بِأَنْ تَأْتُ الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ ذُهُورِهَا. This is no virtue to come to your home from the back, from the rear, making a hole in the wall and coming in. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنِ اتَّقَى. The virtue is to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to understand that obedience is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, that is key. Then another practice amongst the Arab was that many of them used to go on journey for Hajj without taking provisions. And then they used to go like that, but ask people. So it's fine if you have that level of taqwa that you can give everything out, but then you don't become a burden on others. But if you're going to ask someone else, then the Quran says that فَتَقْعُدَ مَذْمُومًا مَخْذُولًا فَتَقْعُدَ مَذْمُومًا مَخْذُولًا وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ فَتَقْعُدَ مَذْمُومًا مَخْذُولًا. Okay, that is what ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says وَلَا تَبْسُطْهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ وَلَا تَبْسُطْهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ فَتَقْعُدَ مَلُومًا مَقْصُورًا. Do not spend all your wealth out. Then people are going to, you know, say, okay, Mr. Generous, Mr. Very Kind. So if you can spend, like Sayyidina Abu Bakr, and when you don't have, you can contain yourself, then subhanallah, that is the best. Like someone said, لَا خَيْرَ فِي الْإِسْرَافِ. There's no good in extravagance. And another person replied by saying, لَا إِسْرَافَ فِي الْخَيْرِ. There's no extravagance when it comes to good. So anyway, this was one of the practices amongst the pagan Arab. You know, these are different practices that the Quran had refuted. For example, we were speaking the other day about witchcraft, right? And I refuted that from Quran, where people have this notion that it's ultimate, you know, and I substantiated it through the verse of the Quran, وَمَا هُمْ بِضَرِّينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. There was another myth amongst the Arabs. If you came to an open valley and you decided to camp in an open field, then the Arabs had this notion you needed to seek the refuge of the key jinnia. And if you didn't ask protection of the main jinn, then you're vulnerable to their interference. So they used to say, أعوذ بعزيزي هذا الوادي من شر سفهاء من شره. أعوذ بعزيز هذا الوادي. I seek the refuge of the leader of this jinn, من شره, from his evil. So Allah speaks about this in Surah Jinn, that وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِّنَ الْإِنسِ يَعُوذُونَ بِرِجَالٍ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقًا. وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِّنَ الْإِنسِ. You know, you say some people are arrogant, and then others make them more arrogant. You know, you make him more, blow his head up. He thinks a lot about himself, and you push him even higher, so he gets a bit more inflated. So you elevate him beyond. So the jinnat had arrogance, and when man started taking refuge in them, it only pushed their arrogance even more. We're really good, man. Even the humans need protection from us. وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِّنَ الْإِنسِ. There were some humans, يَعُوذُونَ عَذَا يَعُوذُ عَوْذًا. They were taking protection, بِرِجَالٍ مِّنْ فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقًا. It added to their arrogance. So Allah said that when you go for Hajj, وَتَزَوَّدُوا, وَتَزَوَّدُوا. Take provision. There's no issues with that. In fact, in the next verse, Allah says, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَبْتَغُوا فَضْلًا مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. If on journey, by the way, to complement or conclude your necessities, if you take something and you sell it as well. But this is for necessities. I need to qualify this here. Because the Prophet ﷺ had sound a warning also. And he said, a time will come where unfortunately, تَحُجُّ أَغْنِيَاءُ أُمَّتِي لِلتَّنَزُّهِ وَأَوْسَاتُهُمْ لِلتِّجَارَةِ وَقُرَّاءُهُمْ لِلرِّيَاءِ وَالسُّمْعَةِ وَفُقَرَاءُهُمْ لِلْمَسْأَلَةِ. How true are the words of the Prophet ﷺ? تَحُجُّ أَغْنِيَاءُ أُمَّتِي لِلتَّنَزُّهِ. The wealthy of my ummah will make hajj as a form of recreation and travel. تَحُجُّ تَنَزَّهَ يَتَنَزَّهُ تَنَزُّهُ. A stroll, a recreation, having a holiday, just having a break. تَحُجُّ أَغْنِيَاءُ أُمَّتِي لِلتَّنَزُّهِ وَأَوْصَاتُهُمْ لِلتِّجَارَةِ. The middle class will make it a means of commerce, trade and business. وَقُرَّاؤُهُمْ لِلْرِّيَاءِ وَالسُّمْعَةِ And the learned will make it a place of fame and recognition and everyone coming to know me and you know what, amassing more people in my group and etc. وَفُقَرَاؤُهُمْ لِلْمَسْأَلَةِ And the poor will make this a begging venue. And unfortunately, every segment or every category that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had spelled out, we are witnessing that in our times. May Allah guide one and all, and may Allah grant us purity in our intention. So Allah says that لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَبْتَغُوا فَضْلًا. So Allah refers to earning sustenance in the Quran by and large by fadl. وَبْتَغُوا مِن فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبْتَغُوا مِن فَضْلِ اللَّهِ That earn from the mercy, the grace, the boon of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no harm that in Hajj, if you take something to cover your basic necessities, that is fine. وَذْكُرُوهُ كَمَا هَدَاكُمْ And remember Allah as He has guided you. ثُمَّ أَفِيضُوا مِن حَيْثُ أَفَاضَ النَّاسِ Now one of the great things of Hajj is what? One of the great salient features of Hajj is يستوي فيه الملوك والعبيد يستوي فيه الملوك والعبيد that the ruler and the slave are equal. There's simply no differentiation. There is no privilege. Everybody's got to go through the same rituals, clad in the very same garb. So the Quraysh had this pride amongst them that they would not go to Arafat, because they said Arafat is outside the boundaries. And by the way, Arafat, the wajh tasmiya, Arafa ya'rifu means to recognize. And amongst the many wisdoms given of it, Arafa is that that's a place where a person recognizes his Allah. He recognizes his Allah. Arafa ya'rifu, to recognize. So the Quraysh used to do this, that they would not go to, from Mina, they would come away to Muzdalifah. They would not go to Arafah. And they said, that is for the others, not for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, ثُمَّ أَفِيضُ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَفَاضَ النَّاسِ Then come from where all the people have come. In other words, from Mina, you go via Arafat. And in fact, Al-Hajj Arafah. Al-Hajj Arafah. Right? There are two things. It's your Tawaf Ziyara and your Arafah. Those are your two rukns of Hajj. So you will also go there. Nobody is above. Nobody has any difference. There's no differentiation. This is the beauty of Hajj. How many people came for Hajj and, the misconceptions that they had of Islam was cleared out. After having accepted Islam, probably they were still not convinced on the beauty or the absolute purity and the just nature of Islam. فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمْ مَنَاسِكَكُمْ When you've completed your rituals. Now, manasik in Arabic, again, the word mansak is used in three contexts. So, manasik could either be used for the rituals of Hajj. رَبَّنَا أَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا Oh Allah, teach us the rituals of Hajj. Or then mansak could be used for the rituals of slaughtering. وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ جَعَلْنَا مَنْسَكًا لِيَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَى مَا رَزَقَهُمْ مِنْ بَهِيمَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ Or mansak could be used in the form of worship in the context and the terminology of the Quran. وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ جَعَلْنَا مَنْسَكًا هُمْ نَاسِكُوهُ فَلَا يُنَازِعُنَّكَ فِي الْأَمْرِ So when you've completed your rituals and you come back to Mina, The practice of the Arabs were they would sit there and then they would speak about the achievements of their forefathers and their ancestors. You know, I'm reminded of this amazing quotation in English. They say, some of us boast of the accomplishments of our forefathers in such a manner as if we are responsible for their achievements. Some of us speak, you must have heard of Mufti so-and-so, you must have heard, yeah, that's my grandfather. Like, the way you carrying on, he is what he is because of you. Right? You must have heard of so-and-so. Yeah, that's my uncle. That's exactly. Some of us boast on the accomplishments of our ancestors as if we are responsible for their achievements. What did Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu say? لَيْسَ الْفَتَى مَنْ يَقُولُ كَانَ أَبِي وَكَانَ جَدِّي إِنَّمَا الْفَتَى مَنْ يَقُولُ هَا أَنَذَا There's no virtue to the one who comes and introduces himself by saying, my late father, my late grandfather, my uncle was like this, my nephew was like this. Merit goes to the young man who comes himself and says, this is who I am. كُنْ إِبْنَ مَنْ شِئْتَ وَاكْتَسِبْ أَدَبًا يُغْنِيكَ مَحْمُودُهُ عَنِ النَّسَبِ Right? In النَّحُ الْوَاضِحِ This share is there. I can just see people nodding their heads in other direction. كُنْ إِبْنَ مَنْ شِئْتَ Be a son to anyone. وَاكْتَسِبْ أَدَبًا But acquire discipline in your life. يُغْنِيكَ مَحْمُودُهُ عَنِ النَّسَبِ. The nobility, the brilliance of your discipline will make you independent of introducing yourself through your lineage. You won't have to tell them who your father is. You don't have to tell them who your grand. Your character will speak. رَأَيْتُ الْعِلْمَ صَاحِبُهُ كَرِيمٌ وَلَوْ وَلَدَتْهُ آبَاءٌ لِآمُ. This is just amazing. Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi said, I observed the possessor of knowledge was always dignified, even if he was born in a home that was of low social standing. He came from a home where nobody... وَلَوْ وَلَدَتْهُ آبَاءٌ لِآمٌ لِآمٌ لَئِيمٌ لَئِيمٌ. You know, not respected, not dignified, not high, but صاحب العلم, he was a man of knowledge. So his knowledge allowed him to break through the shackles of the negativity of the environment in which he found himself. Why? Because that is knowledge. That is knowledge. So anyway, they had this practice. They would sit and speak, my father is like this, my grandfather is like this. So Allah said, فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُم مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَذِكْرِكُمْ آبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا. After you've completed, then remember Allah. And how you should remember Him, like how you remember your forefathers, if not more. One youngster asked me, how much dua should I make? I said, as long as for the time you spend on your phone. You know, the time you spend on your phone, say, okay, I got the hint, I got the message. Allah said, remember Allah like how you remembered your forefathers. In fact, even more. And then, of course, فَمَنْ تَعَجَّلَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. That is at Mina, that you can stay there on after the 10th, the 11th and the 12th, or the 11th, 12th and 13th, and that is more rewarding. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a munafiqiyah, right? وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Again, just look at the beauty of Quran, man. Oh, Allahu Akbar. So, مِنَ النَّاسِ, this is a phrase of the Quran. So Allah categorizes, Allah explains, min is tab'id, tab'id means some. So different places, Allah says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدًى وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ. The Quran is replete with it. This is one of the expressions. Some people are like this, some people are like this. Some people, they worship me on the edge, Allah says. Some people, they worship me on the edge. Are you in Islam? Well, I'm here, I'll let you know. But are you inside or you're outside? Well, I'll let you know. فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٍ اِطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ اِطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ. If after accepting Islam, he sees material prosperity, then he settles into the faith. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ. And if after accepting Islam, there's tests and trials, انقلب على وجهه. He turns on his face. خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Tell him, by forsaking Islam, no loss to us, no harm to us. خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. The loss is for him of both the worlds. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينُ. This is an open loss. يَدْعُو لَمَنْ ضَرُّهُ أَقْرَبُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِ لَبِئْسَ الْمَوْلَى وَلَبِئْسَ الْعَشِيرُ. He's turning to a deity and an ism that the harm of worshipping that is more guaranteed than any benefits. The harm is guaranteed. It's more closer. It's more real. It's inevitable. يدعو, he supplicates. لمن, the being. ضرّه, the harm. أقرب, is closer. من نفعي, than potential benefit. لبئس المولى ولبئس العشير. Wicked is that as a guardian. Wicked is that as a master. So Allah says, women and nas, there are different types of people. May Allah make us amongst those categories who are His beloved servants. So here Allah speaks about a munafiq by the name of Akhnas bin Shuraiq. Now, the munafiq, they were very, very cunning. They were very sly. And again, Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i said, لَمْ يَبْقَ فِي النَّاسِ إِلَّا الْمَكْرُ وَالْمَلَّقُ. Oh my word. I often say, many of the utterances of our pious predecessors has more meaning today than it had on the time they said it. When you study their words and you like wonder, you find it difficult to reconcile that utterance with that error. And you find it so relevant to is as though Allah made them pronounce it for us. He said there's nothing left in this world but slyness and cunningness. Shawkun idha lamasu. When you touch the man, you realize he's a thorn. Zahrun. But he looks like a blossoming flower from a distance. Shawkun idha lamasu. Zahrun idha ramaku. Oh man. From a distance, my word, this man is just amazing. In fact, I often say, may Allah guide me and may Allah forgive us all. You know, when you're driving, they say keep a safe distance. Nowadays, it's also good to keep safe distances from people also. If you get too close, the stench might kill you, my brother. You're in for a rude awakening. You're in for a rude awakening. Right? Allah guide us all. Allah protect us all. Sometimes we elevate people above their profile and we think too high about them. It's good to have positive thoughts about people, but we also need to be conscious that every human is a human. In Muslim Sharif, in the Muqaddama, on page 20, the quotation of Abdullah ibn Mubarak just gives me a shiver in my back. He says, لو خيرت بين أن أدخل الجنة وبين أن ألقى عبد الله ابن محرر لاخترت أن ألقاه. If I were given the opportunity to meet Abdullah first, Abdullah ibn Muharrir, or I was given the choice to go to Jannah first. So this was a great man, he had heard a lot about him, but he had not met him. So he said, if I died without meeting him, and Allah said, do you want to go Jannah first, or do you want to first meet Abdullah and then go to Jannah? My passion to meet him was so much, I would have told Allah, I'll put my entry into Jannah on pause, I first want to meet him, then go to Jannah. Ask a man whose nikah is performed, would you want to meet with the president or your wife first? You know how it is. I know when I was getting married, right? Okay, now I can just imagine my wife is going to say, why you say these things here? But I mean, now you're driving down. And then you have some people that, oh, there are some kids, they want to stop at the garage and somebody wants to use the washroom. Listen, man, you know what? We don't have to keep the whole entourage waiting or the cavalry. Let's get going, man. I mean, you know, you can stay hungry whole day, but after iftar, it's difficult not to eat. Are you guys, can I get a bit of a acknowledgement here? Right? So, imagine this year, a married person, a bride wants to meet the groom, a groom wants to meet a bride. If I'm told to go to Jannah, Muqaddama of Muslim Sharif, page 20, I would say, Allah, first I want to meet him. That was my envy, and that is how much I loved him. فَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُهُ. When I seen the man, and I met the man, I was so disappointed. Leave alone an animal, I would give preference to the droppings of an animal to meeting this man. فَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُهُ كَانَتْ بَقْرَةٌ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْهُ. So may Allah guide one and all. You know, I often quote these words of Khalid. Khalid was one of the close associates of Hassan Basri, rahimahullah. And someone said, tell us about Hassan Basri. And these were scholars and, you know, these were real people. He said, إِنَّهُمْ رُؤٌ سَرِيرُهُ كَعَلَانِيَتِهِ وَقَوْلُهُ كَفِعْلِهِ إِذَا أَمَرَ بِمَعْرُوفٍ كَانَ أَعْمَلَ النَّاسِ بِهِ وَإِذَا نَهَى عَنْ مُنْكَرٍ كَانَ أَتْرَكَ النَّاسِ لَهُ وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُهُ مُسْتَغْنِيًا عَنِ النَّاسِ زَاهِدًا بِمَا فِي أَيْدِيهِمْ وَرَأَيْتُ النَّاسَ مُحْتَاجِينَ إِلَيْهِ طَالِبِينَ مَا عِنْدَهُ فَقَالَ حَسْبُكَ يَا خَالِدُ كَيْفَ يَظِلُّ قَوْمٌ فِيهِمْ مِثْلُ هَذَا. He said, you know who Hassan Basri was? There was harmony between his private and his personal life. Just take that one message. There was harmony. There was consistency. Whether you caught him in his private or in his public life, there was harmony. Anyway, there was this person by the name of Akhnas bin Shuraik. So he used to come. يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ. His words would mesmerize you. His words would capture you. And this was one of the attributes of the munafiqeen. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ وَإِنْ يَقُولُوا تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ, when you see them, تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ, you would be impressed by their physique, right? So, رئيس المنافقين, he had a very towering personality. He was lanky. He had an impressive body. He had a very impressive personality. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, that was his nature. وَإِنْ يَقُولُ When he spoke tasma, you will just listen to him. Because he had the gift of the gab. He can mesmerize you, he can turn you, he can sway you. Some people can just, you know, move into it and convince you. And they can dominate you. In the 23rd juz in Surah Sa'd, Allah speaks about those two people who came to Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salatu was salam. And then they presented their case. And what did he say? خَصْمَانِ بَغَى بَعْضُنَا عَلَى بَعْضٍ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَنَا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا تُشْتِطْ وَهْدِنَا إِلَى سَوَاءِ الصِّرَاطِ إِنَّ هَذَا أَخِي This is my brother. لَهُ تِسْعٌ وَتِسْعُونَ نَعْجَةً وَلِيَ نَعْجَةٌ وَاحِدَةً فَقَالَ أَكْفِلْنِيهَا وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ So this is my brother. He has 99 ewe, 99 sheep. I have one. He doesn't want to balance the act out. He wants me to give him my one. And the challenge is, وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ He can steamroll me in speech. He can dominate me. He'll talk you into it to believe you. You know how some guys are, right? Okay, you might tell me I'm that person, so I better watch myself here. And you know what I mean? Okay, so yu'jibuka. Some people, they can sweet talk. So he would come in the gathering and he would be very sweet and polite. And then what he would say in front of everyone, يُشْهِدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا فِي قَلْبِي I make Allah my witness. I just love you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَهُوَ أَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ He is the most severe of opponents. He is the biggest of oppositions. This is the reality. His claim is, I love you. His speech is impressive. His physique will blow you away. His reality is a munafiq. The truth. What they say in English, I love people who openly hate me, but I hate people who pretend to love me. I love people who openly hate me. Listen, me and you are foes. We have hostility. I respect it. That's your right. You're entitled not to like me. But I hate people who pretend to love me. And today, that's the problem in the world. There's this double standards. There's this hypocrisy. There's this inconsistency. And that has just caused cancer on this planet. وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى Two meanings. تَوَلَّى الْأَمْرَ To assume position. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا تَوَلَّيْتُمْ فَكَيْفَ تَوَلَّى To assume position. Or تَوَلَّى أَعْرَض When he turns his back. So he comes in your gathering and he says all this, O Messenger, but let him turn his back. سَعَى فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُفْسِدَ فِيهَا His effort is just to cause corruption on the earth. وَيُهْلِكَ الْحَرْثَ وَالنَّسْلَ To destroy the crops and to destroy the progeny. And that's exactly what he did to one of the Sahaba. Or وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى When he comes into power. Now, let's take this into a political context. There are many a people, prior to them being inaugurated, يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ يُعْجِبُكَ Look at the beauty of Quran, man. Just look at the beauty, man. So, when he is rallying for his campaign, then he is like, listen, he's a people's man. He's on the ground. He's kissing a baby, holding a go-go, and going in the rural areas, and really touching the hearts of people, and winning the confidence. Right? وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى But when he takes position, when he comes into authority, and he's been sworn in, he's been inaugurated, سَعَى فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُفْسِدَ فِيهَا What did the Quran say? إِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ إِذَا دَخَلُوا قَرْيَةً أَفْسَدُوهَا وَجَعَلُوا أَعِزَّةَ أَهْلِهَا أَذِلَّةً That the general norm of monarchs, rulers, dogmatic rulers are when they enter a nation, a city, a town, a village, إِذَا دَخَلُ أَفْسَدُوهَا They just cause a massacre there. وَجَعَلُوا أَعِزَّةَ أَهْلِهَا أَذِلَّةً And they disgrace the honorable people. وَكَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ And probably, this is of course in the context of the tale between Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam and the queen of Saba. So, وَإِذَا قِيلَ And when it is said to him, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ فِيَا اللَّهِ أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ أَخَذَتْهُ النَّخْوَةُ Then his arrogance provokes him towards sin. فَحَسْبُهُ جَهَنَّمْ One hell will take care of him all. إِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ جَزَاءُكُمْ جَزَاءً مَوْفُورًا أي وَافِرًا Allah says, one hell will take care of all of him. وَلَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادَ And it's an evil place. Now, this is the nature of the Quran contrast. This was a man who is like this, claims this, but does something else. ومن الناس, and then there are those people, من يشري نفسه. They are ready to sell. And many of the scholars say that shara yashri is amongst the afdad, where it could have the meaning of buying and selling. وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ. It could either mean to buy or to sell. So there are other words in the Quran as well in the meaning of afdad, which has the opposite meanings. وَكَانَ وَرَاءَهُمْ مَلِكٍ. Many scholars say waraya is in the meaning of amam. Likewise in Surah Al-Takwir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ الْجَوَارِ الْكُنَّسِ وَالْلَيْلِ إِذَا عَسْعَسْ وَالْلَيْلِ إِذَا عَسْعَسْ. So وَالْلَيْلِ إِذَا أَقْبَلْ أَوْ أَدْبَرْ. Both meanings have been given there. So this is the beauty of the Quran. This is the beauty of the Quran and the amazing nature of the Arabic language. And this was regarding Suhaib radiallahu anhu, that when he was traveling and then the enemies wanted to attack him, and then he said, listen, I have my arrows here and I am a good archer, and you will not come close to me till I empty my quiver out. And أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ كَنْزِ, I will tell you where my treasures are. Go to Makkah and take my wealth and belongings, but just allow a free passage for me to go to Medina. And he comes into Medina, and the verse was revealed, and the Prophet ﷺ said, رَبِحَ الْبَيْءَ, رَبِحَ, congratulations, the loss of your wealth for the preservation of your iman was profitable. And then Allah speaks about Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu ya. And this is, I'm trying to move fast, but it's so irresistible. It's so irresistible. This is the challenge. This is the challenge I have every year. It's like, what do you omit? Because this is, everything is so relevant. So we just like move two pages here. But anyway, as long as we get in some message and lesson from the Quran. So Abdullah bin, so the verse of the Quran is, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu aw yuhu believe udkhulu anta fis silmi in Islam kafa completely. Enter into Islam in its entirety. Now just look at the backdrop of this ayah. Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu, he was a former Jew, and he was a priest, he was a rabbi. In the teachings before Islam, when he was practicing his faith, they would honor the Sabbath. They would honor the Sabbath, the Saturday. إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ السَّبَتُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ. And the eating of the camel meat was forbidden. كُلُّ الطَّعَامِ كَانَ حِلًّا لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ إِلَّا مَا حَرَّمَ إِسْرَائِيلُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. You can read the whole thing that Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam had some pain, and then he made it forbidden on him, the meat and the flesh of camel, because that was very beloved to him, etc., etc. So the ta'zim of sabbat was mandatory, and the consumption of camel meat was forbidden. When Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu became a Muslim, he said, Islam doesn't compel you to dishonor Saturday. Understand this clearly. And Islam doesn't make the consumption of camel meat obligatory. So I can balance between the two. My former faith tells me to respect Saturday. Islam doesn't tell me to dishonor Saturday. My former faith tells me that the consumption of camel meat is forbidden. Islam doesn't say the consumption of camel meat is obligatory. So what I'll do is, I'll honor Jummah as well, and I'll honor Saturday as well, because Islam is not telling me dishonor Saturday. Islam is not telling me dishonor Saturday, right? Allah has created all the days of the week. The narration of Muslim Sharif, that Allah created the heavens and the earth from Sunday and till Friday. Till Friday, and Friday prior to Maghrib, Adam alayhi salam was created. And then of course, Sittata Ayyam, the scholars debate. Now what is meant by Sittata Ayyam? Was it the common 6 days, because at that time skies and earth were not there? Or is it the duration of that 6 days? Or is it the 6 days, Inna yawman inda rabbika ka alfi sana? So there's a whole debate in there. But that's a hadith of Muslim Sharif, that Yawmul Ahad, this was created, Yawmul Ithnain, etc. The scholars of hadith have had their discussions pertaining to the hadith. So he accepted Islam and he said, I will not eat camel meat, but i'tiqadan, I will not believe it to be haram. So I'll just respect it. But Islam said, no, when you've come into the faith, now embrace the faith in its entirety. Embrace the faith in its entirety. How often you don't hear a woman saying, you know, you're married now, now you need to know your friend's life have to change. Right? like you can stay. I'm not saying cut out your friends, but you've made a choice in life. You moved on into life. You've taken another chapter in your life. So you need to change those things here. I'm just giving a loose analogy here. So when you've accepted the deen, accept the deen in its entirety. Take the wholesome package. Take the wholesome package. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dukhulu fi silmi kaffa wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaytan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. Then I wanted to touch briefly, because time is really, really running out. Oh, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they ask you regarding alcohol and they ask you regarding gambling. Again, look at the linguistics. Khamar in Arabic means something to cover. So you call the scarf of a woman khimar, right? Provided it's not see-through. Because khimar means something that covers. So if it's transparent, then it's really, you know, it's not masturat, it's makshufat. Okay, so you have khamar. Khamar, literally, and that's the beauty. Why do you call alcohol khamar? Because it blocks your intellect. What did that villager say? If human intellect could be frozen and sold, لَتَغَالَ النَّاسِ, people would have asked exorbitant amounts for their brains, right? So now that human intellect cannot be sold and you cannot purchase someone's brains, all the more you need to protect your wealth. So I'm astonished by humans when this is something they cannot replace or buy. How can a man use his own money to destroy his own logic by consuming alcohol? Right? If it's something, you know, you can replace it, you can change it, you can substitute it, you can do cosmetic surgery, you can do this or whatever. The brain is something that you cannot. You need to preserve this faculty. How is it that humans can buy? And it is so sad and tragic. This is something that hurts me in all my years, and I continue to observe this in my travels. When you see a Muslim serving alcohol, it just gives you a shiver in your back. When you see a Muslim consuming it, by Allah, it's a sight you can just not adapt to. You know, you can be flying twice a week and thrice a week. It's just a painful sight. And sometimes you see someone, you know, they have their badges on, and it's a name of a Sahabi or a name of a Sahabiya. And you see that sister serving alcohol, tears just trickle down your eyes. I was once flying on a particular cabin, and the woman's name was Hafsa. And my mind went to, you know, who was Hafsa radiallahu anha? When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intended divorcing her, then Jibreel came down and he said, irji'ha fa innaha sawwamatun qawwamatun wa annaha zawjatuka fil jannah. O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has instructed you that you revoke her back, because she is one who fasts excessively, and she is going to be your spouse in this world and your spouse in akhirah. And this hadith flashed through my mind, and I'm seeing the sister giving out alcohol, and I just started tearing, and I made dua, Allah forgive me for my weakness that I couldn't communicate it. But yes, that's a sad, 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 tragic. May Allah protect our youth. May Allah protect one and all. May Allah create in our hearts the dislike of sin and vice. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. And they ask you regarding alcohol. وَالْمَيْسِرِ. And they ask you regarding gambling. So it's from the word yusr, right? Easy. Tatama chance, tatama million, right? And so many times you see this elderly person, and many times I stop them and I say, see, you know what, you're not going to win. I was listening to a program, and you will not believe this, on one of the radio stations, and they're talking about the lottery and how it works, and the need to educate people of how slim the chance is of winning. So, you know, people were throwing some tough questions at those that were running this whole thing. And he said, but you need to educate the people. And he's like, no, people know the chances are slim. So why do people still cast it, and why do people still go buy the ticket? He says, we know they're not going to win, and they also know they're not going to win, but we allow them the opportunity to fantasize being rich. What you talking, man? This is hogwash. This is bizarre. This is ludicrous. This is ludicrous, man. This is preposterous. This is inconceivable. What are you talking? No, at least it makes for a juicy discussion on the dinner table. Imagine I had 10 million. Wow, wow. At least it's an exciting gossip. It's an exciting fantasy. Like, really? Are you playing with kids or toddlers? What a world we live in. إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْءٍ فَجْتَنِبُوا fajtanibu. Allah said, all this will block you away from deen. And wallah, I cry my heart. I go often to the rehab, and from time to time I've spoken there. And may Allah guide and protect our youth. Really, those youth that are in this vice, may Allah make it easy for their parents and for their families. There are so many brothers that keep in touch with me, and they constantly ask me for du'as and guidance. Sometimes the youth come out, it's barely 3 days and they relapse. So it's really, really a vicious circle. It's really one of the worst things that could destroy. Now, when I was in Vancouver like 3 weeks ago, again they said crystal meth and the same drugs just destroyed the youth. Just destroyed the youth. So قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَا. This was one of the first verses that were revealed regarding the dislike and the sin of alcohol and the vice of gambling. Tell them in it there are many sins. And of course it has its benefit. People will tell you, you take a tot of alcohol in moderation, it enhances your IQ and it's beneficial for this and the rest of it. And through lotteries so many charities are working and the benefit. But وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِن نَفْعِهِمَا. The harm, the vice, the evil, the repercussion far more outweighs the good. So honestly, this has paralyzed individuals and it has destroyed communities. If you look, there are so many islands that I have visited. You'll find, unfortunately, in many of these islands, alcohol is very, very widely consumed. I recently returned from Barbados, a beautiful country with lovely beaches, lovely coast, beautiful climate. But unfortunately, on every turn, you'll find alcohol. Recently, we were in Seychelles. Beautiful, stunning, breathtaking. But again, at every turn and twist, you'll find alcohol has been consumed. And it brings a nation to their knees. And this is the beauty of Islam. Then, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, okay, there's so much here on the aspect of orphans, but I don't want to go into that. I just want to touch on this here so that we can, not omit this in the mention of today. And that is the aspect of talaq and nikah. So quickly to wrap up on those notes here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the iddah of a woman. Now we need to understand that this is not a punishment on a woman. This is not a penalty on a woman. This is part of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والمطلقات, and the women that have been divorced, يتربصن, they will wait بأنفسهن, with themselves, ثلاثة قروء. And that's the famous ikhtilaf, whether it is three cycles or three tahr, according to Imam Shafi and Imam Malik, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. So they will wait for that period after they have been divorced. وَلَا يَحِلُّ, meaning they would sit in عِدَّة. وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَهُنَّ أَن يَكْتُمْنَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهِ. And it's not correct for them to conceal what is in their womb, whether it is the regular cycle or there is the formation of a fetus. Because according to that, the عِدَّة will differ. وَأُولَاتُ الْأَحْمَالِ أَجَلُهُنَّ أَن يَضَعْنَ حَمْلَهُنَّ. And the pregnant woman, her عِدَّة will be the delivery of her child. يَضَعْنَ حَمْلَهُنَّ. So if there is a child, then it would be till delivery. And if there isn't a child, then it will be the three cycles. إِن كُنَّ يُؤْمِنَّ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَبُعُولَتُهُنَّ أَحَقُّ بِرَدِّهِنَّ فِي ذَلِكِ. And their husbands who have divorced them, if he has given a revocable divorce, then he is most deserving to take those women back in أَرَادُ إِصْلَاحَ. If his intention is to reconcile, to reform, not to abuse or to exploit. To the men I say, if you study Surah Talaq, right, it is four pages in the Quran Surah Talaq. But in that 4 pages, the ulama say, 4 times Allah told the men, fear me. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ. Right? وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ, fear Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ, the one who fears Allah, يُعْظِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. That Allah will grant him great reward. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَدْ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ ذِكْرًا. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Allah interjects all the discussion in Surah Talaq with fear me, fear me. So the whole institution of marriage and talaq has to be governed by fear and not by hate. I really want to touch on to 1-2 verses here because it's key and we're dealing with these social cases. So then Allah says, At-talaqu marratan. The revocable divorce is 2. After that, there's no form of revoking. If you've given your wife talaq, and thereafter, فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. Either you're keeping her with respect or releasing her with dignity. Again, if you dissect the word صَرَّحَ يُسَرِّحُ تَسْرِيحٌ, linguistically it means to leave an animal to graze freely. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا جَمَالٌ حِينَ تُرِيحُونَ وَحِينَ تَسْرَحُونَ. And for you is beauty. حِينَ تُرِيحُونَ When you return your animals from the meadows in the evening. وَحِينَ تَسْرَحُونَ And in the morning when you leave them to graze freely. You know, a man walks into his garage and it's like a showroom. And he has his whole fleet there. And it just gives him a sense of pride and joy and happiness. So you're looking at the farm and you're seeing your cattle spreading out in the distance. And all this gives you a sense of joy. All this cattle, all these acres, all this lawn, all this grazing, this is mine. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا جَمَالٌ And for you is beauty. حِينَ تُرِيحُونَ When you're returning them in the evening. وَحِينَ تَسْرَحُونَ So Allah uses the word saraha. Here again Allah says, leave this woman freely. Don't shackle her. Don't cage her. Tasrihum bi ihsan. Don't exploit or abuse. And at the time of dissolving, وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَكُمْ أَن تَأْخُذُوا مِمَّا أَتَيْتُمُوهُنَّ شَيْئًا It's not permissible for you to claim anything that you gave her. Yes, there is one scenario where you can claim, إِلَّا أَن يَخَافَ أَلَّا يُقِيمَ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ And that refers to khula. And khula, khala'a in Arabic means to come out. فَخْلَعْنَ عَلَيْكَ Remove your shoes. So khula' means to remove. So that is where a woman tempts her husband. That is provided she is not a victim of abuse. Because if a man has abused his wife, then it is wrong for him to settle on khula'. That means if you're abusing your wife, then you should give her talaq if you're not keeping her with respect. But if you have not abused your wife, and you're living with respect and dignity, but you just the woman is choosing to leave the relationship, like in the case of Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas radiallahu anhu, where she had asked out, then Islam has given this one choice where she could tempt her husband through khula. So the laws are very detailed and intricate, but the Quran speaks about it. So at that stage, she can offer her husband the dowry back, and if he chooses to accept that, then that would result in a talaq ba'in, but you could go deeper into the kitabs of fiqh. Then Allah says, فَإِن طَلَّقَهَا If he gives the third talaq, فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ مِن بَعْدُ Now it's not permissible for him, فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ مِن بَعْدُ Until حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرًا Until she marries another man. I was reading in Tafsir Qushayri, and you'll be amazed by this. You know, often people ask, what's the wisdom, or why is it so challenging that after the third talaq, you cannot reconcile, and a woman needs to come out of this iddah, she needs to remarry. And one of the hikmahs that were written there, and I was just blown away. The ulama say the reason for this, amongst other reasons, and I hope I can adequately communicate it and educate the ummah there, and it's written in Tafsir al-Qushayri, that's where I read it myself, is that every man by nature is protective over his spouse. Protective over the females of his house, his daughter, his mom, his niece, his aunt, etc. And that is why we have the system of mahram in Islam, that the man is there. That is why the ulama say that if the mahram, the male, is not Allah conscious, then he will not serve as a protector. If there is fear of incest from that mahram, then what presence does he do there? The aim is to protect him from anybody else that will make advancements to that female. But if he himself is posing a risk, then what's the benefit of such a mahram? So he's got to be one there who has the interest, who has ghairat in him, who has the iffat in him, etc. So every male by nature is protective over the females of his house. And it becomes like difficult to imagine my wife leaving my wedlock and being with someone else. So Allah, to stop the male from that situation, Allah said, don't divorce this woman three times. If you're going to divorce her three times, then that which you dread will become a reality. That which you dread, and that which you cannot imagine that your wife is with someone else, or someone casting a roaming glance at your wife, that is what's going to happen. So the aim is not to persecute the woman, but the aim is to restrain the man. The aim is to restrain the man. That's one thing I want to mention. And then there's so many other ahkam that here to mention. I'll just mention, okay, time is up. So we'll leave it on this note. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put unity in our marriages. Today, one of the verses that were recited in the Fajr, Allah alone knows if we'll get there with time as we're moving on. But Allah says, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ That deal with your spouses with respect and in a good way. And one of the, you know, the greatest teachings of Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this regard, and I find it to be the most universal when it comes to trying to reconcile between partners both ways. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yafrak mu'minun mu'minatan in kariha minha khuluqan radiya minha akhar. Let not a male despise his wife, and vice versa, let not a woman despise her husband. If there's one quality of your partner that depresses you,
there's surely 1,000 that impress you. So we're not denying. You say, my wife is like this, my husband is like this. In its place, we agree. But is that the only thing they have, or they have other things as well? As long as those weak points are not sins. Because if it's a sin, then we got to address it. If it's a sin, we got to address it. As long as it's not a sin, then don't stagnate, don't magnify. Focus on the positive energy and move on. And make peace with the weaknesses. That's how men are, that's how women are. As long as it's not a sin and a vice, and it's not infringing or encroaching, then move on. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put unity in our marriages and grant us the understanding of the Quran and connect us with the message of Allah. Wa sallallahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, dear listeners, indeed, you know, reciting and pondering over the Quran Kareem verses, wallahi, it's among the fundamental ways of attaining bliss and inner serenity. Maulana Suleiman Mullah Sahib, alhamdulillah, mentioned some wonderful, wonderful points, something for us to ponder about. And just on that note, this is talking about reading the Quran Kareem, contemplating regarding the Kalam of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the writers said, he said, I once felt as if a thick cloud of depression and anxiety was hovering above my head for a long time. And I felt extremely and unbelievably sad, miserable, depressed. And he says, I picked up the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I started reciting the Ayat Kareemah for a while. And says, suddenly by the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, every trace of depression, sadness and anxiety faded away. And I tasted the sweetness of bliss, joy and tranquility. Subhanallah. So this is the Quran Kareem, respected listeners. Allah bidhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. You will find happiness, inshallah, tranquility in opening up the Quran Kareem verses and contemplating, like Maulana Suleiman Mullah Sahib said, open up on the Ayat Quran Kareem. All right, it's 22 minutes past 10 o'clock. Maulana Sahib, once again, Jazakumullah. Really appreciate that, subhanAllah, we learned a great deal. Your rewards, Abadullah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Maulana.
Jazakallah khair. And I cannot overemphasize the need and the importance for us. When somebody came to Sayyidina Muaz in his deathbed and they started crying, so he asked them, Ma yubkikum? So what makes you cry? They said, Nabki ala al-ilm alladhi yanqati'u anna 'inda mawtik. We crying that now you're passing away, so the knowledge that is with you is going to leave us and we won't have that. And Sayyidina Mu'az said, yes, I am going, but the Quran will remain. I am going, but the Quran will remain. And I think that's so pertinent and that's so key. Ramadan will come and go, Tarawih will come and go, but the Quran will remain. The Quran will remain. Like, what's stopping us to connect ourselves with this Quran? I promise you, I say this in gratitude to Allah. There's nothing that has given me a greater spiritual ecstasy than just to read Quran, reflect over its meaning and just tear. And it just gives you a sense of renewal of joy to this great iman that Allah has blessed us with. So inshallah we hope that we can stimulate our audience and create within them the guilt in a positive way that can spur them on to connecting themselves with some program that can start getting them to understand the message of the Quran, inshallah.
Ameen, inshallah.
Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.